T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joe O, night 6 to 10.
Hanging out with you on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Next two nights, you better you bet, I'll be on Radio.com Sports, the Radio.com app, from 5 to 9. It's a brand new venture, new network for the company. All sports betting, 5 to 9, Monday through Friday. So I'll be doing that the next two nights, then back here for the evening show on Thursday night and Friday night. So a busy, busy week here. And in between all the on-air work, I'm trying to figure out when I can catch a flight to get to Vegas before the NFL season starts, because they have all these great contests, and I've been involved with one of them over the last 4 years. And as of this moment, I am not signed up for a $1 million handicapping football contest, and I feel all naked. It's really bothering me, and hopefully I'll be able to do that before we get to Bears-Packers. But someone that knows as much about these contests as anyone is Matty Simo. He's a Chicago sports fan, grew up here, then he moved out to Vegas, and he just works on these contests. On Twitter, he's at Vegas underscore Matty. What's going on, Matty?
What's going on, Joe? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. It's been far too long since talking to you on the air. So
I know. We miss you out here.
Believe me. I'm trying to get back out. Hopefully it happens in the next couple of weeks.
But make it happen. Yeah, you got 3 weeks left, so
I know.
Plenty of time.
I've been talking about the Super Contest on the air a bunch over the last few years, and anybody that follows me on Twitter, I love to banter about it and the different strategies involved. But people listening to The Score have noticed there's another $1 million contest out in Vegas, because the Circa is spending money to make sure Chicago sports fans know about their contest too. So just give us a summary of what goes on in these contests and how much they've grown over the last 5 years.
Sure. Well, the Circa Sports Million that you're referring to is something that was put together from Circa Sports. It's a new sportsbook chain that was started by Derek Stevens and also with Matt Metcalf and Mike Palm out here in Vegas. Basically, they're setting up shop at the D Casino downtown and then at the Golden Gate, and then with their eyes on opening a mega resort in December of 2020 called Circa. And anybody who's kind of, if you Google Circa Casino, you can see the renderings of the casino. It's unbelievable just how it's going to be kind of take over downtown. It's going to be the only true resort downtown and maybe bring some people off the strip down there. But as part of that launch, they launched on June the 1st, and they started a guaranteed $1.5 million football contest, which is similar format to the Super Contest in that you pick five NFL sides every week. But the cool thing is there's no rake, so 100% payback for all the contestants. And then they have four quarterly bonuses that are given out. So, say, Joe, if you were to go, 15-1 over the first 4 weeks, you're going to win $50,000. And that's the same amount that's for each of the four quarters, which is really cool, very unique. And anything they get over the 1,500 entrants that is, they need to break even on it, it's going to go, the money will go back to the bonuses. So if they end up getting like 1,600 people in the contest, then that money over any money that they make is going to go back into the bonuses, which is really cool.
So if you don't live out in Vegas, here's the deal. You've got to show up in person to sign up for
the hardest part, yeah.
Yeah, that is the one drawback. But, hey, it's really not much of a drawback when you're talking about going out to Vegas. And you need something called a proxy if you're not in Nevada. That means you won't be able to get your picks in on your phone because you cross state lines. And that's what Maddie does. He's a proxy for this. And I've been wondering, with the addition of another million-dollar contest, what's the reaction been? What are you seeing from customers? Are you seeing people sign up for both, or people see, oh, the circuit's $500 cheaper, I'm going to go with that one instead, even though I've been doing the super contest for years and years? Or you see people that are loyal to the super contest? What's been the vibe out there?
Well, really a little of all those things, Joe. We're staying pretty busy, busier than ever, kind of running around town, spending a lot of time downtown signing people for this contest in particular, because we're finding, I would say, probably more than half of the people that are doing the super contest are ending up doing the circuit contest. Wow. We've got a good amount that are just doing the circuit contest, because like you said, it's $500 cheaper. You can do up to three entries versus two. So if you think about it, $1,500 for the super contest, you can do two entries in there, or you can do three in the circa, and people are, maxing out the three entries in the circa contest instead of doing two in the super contest. And then you've got people doing both. So you got a little of, both. And then also, yeah, there's some guys who are just staying true to the super contest that have done it for years just because, they know that that's going to be the biggest payout. I mean, it's going to be over $1.5 million to the winner in the super contest, where the circuit contest is the guaranteed $1 million, which is amazing considering it'll probably have less than half the amount of entrants.
I remember a few years ago when I was out there, that was the big conversation. Will they break the top prize in the super contest, $1 million? And now you're saying it's going to reach 1.5.
Right, yeah. I mean, that was a couple of years ago, right? And Last year was $1.4 million. Now, when we started this,
it's going to increase even with Circa involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is Circa is going to have, they have to have 1,500 contestants to hit that, guarantee, where they're not coming out of pocket to break even on it. And, I mean, that's right off the bat. $1 million is going to the winner. But they're only paying out the top 10. That is worth noting for those people listening. The super contest pays out the top 100 spots versus the top 10. So that is a little different, but you do have the quarterly bonuses that make up for it. And just the growth of the contest, when my partner Tony and I started this, we started our business in 2009, the first place was substantially less. They only had 328 people in the contest, and now they can get that in one weekend, signing up, coming up on super contest weekend. This weekend, they'll easily have, they'll probably have 500 people sign up, So it's crazy, how much it's grown, and that you could do that much business in a weekend. I mean, Circa this week, I think, is close to a couple hundred entries in the last, week to 10 days. There are over 600 entries now, and, that was something where they were debating whether there'd even be over 1,000 people in it, and now it's looking like I said earlier today, I think it's going to hit 1,000 before Labor Day weekend.
So no overlay for them, right? You think?
Right, well, yeah. I mean, they have to hit 1,500 for no overlay.
Okay.
But anything less than that, there would be a slight overlay. But the overlay is going down. Every person that signs up, it's getting smaller. So it is under $1 million now. And those guys down there, they're quietly promoting the overlay because they want people to more people to sign up. But as people sign up, that number shrinks, obviously.
Very cool. Okay. Joe Ostrowski with Maddie Simo, a Chicago guy living the life out in Las Vegas, talking about these monster football contests going on, the largest football handicapping contest that you're going to find anywhere. Maddie, as you know, sports betting, the legalized version, is coming to Illinois during this football season. I don't know. People ask me that every day. I would say probably not. If it happens, it will be at the tail end, maybe the playoffs, maybe the Super Bowl. But do you think next football season we'll have some of these monster NFL handicapping contests? Maybe not $1 million, but huge contests in Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. I'm actually surprised that there haven't been any popping up on the East Coast, because Jersey's been legal for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're just going to kind of start them up the last week or two or what, but, I mean, I'm really surprised that there haven't been any other ones. I mean, you've got DraftKings and FanDuel, who I really thought would do something as well, and they could maybe get something online. But I think some of the laws, they're still trying to sort through some of that stuff. Because, like you had mentioned with Illinois, if Illinois was going to even team up with like a Superbook or something like that. If there was a kind of a branch of a sports book out there, it would have to be a separate pool than it would be like with Vegas, you know, because that was kind of the debate was, you know, the Westgate Superbook was trying to move out to New Jersey and launch before the season. And they had talked about it. If we are going to be out there, you know, we would definitely do a super contest, but it would be limited to, you know, people who sign up out there, and they couldn't share the pool with Las Vegas, which is obviously much bigger. So, you know, that's something just to keep in mind. I mean, it might be a much smaller amount, but like anything else, I mean, it's going to start small. I mean, with Circa, like, that's a perfect example. Like, you put some good marketing dollars behind it, mm-hmm. you know, you can go from having like 100 entries to 1,000, you know, in a month or two, and really bring in a lot of money. So that's definitely a good example to follow for a lot of states out there.
Maddie, the game theory aspect of this I find fascinating. Can you explain some of the different strategies you've seen from different groups over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest one, and you know this, Joe, too, is when it comes to picking games. I mean, the team winning the game covers the spread, you know, what, like 80% of the time, something like that. So, you know, the hard part is picking a winner, like a team that's going to win the game, period. You know what I mean? So if you can kind of look at that and avoid, you know, the big favorites, you know, to avoid those teams that are favored by double digits, that's one thing I think you see that publicly with the consensus picks. A lot of people are on the teams that are like plus 10, plus 11, uh-huh. stuff like that. Try to stay within a certain range. You know, we had the winner a few years ago, and his strategy mostly was just taking like favorites mostly that were like 4 points or less. Because, I mean, obviously gives you a much bigger chance of is if the team's going to win the game, they're going to cover the spread. Anything over, like, 4.5 points, it gets a little dicey. You know, 4.5 and 5.5 points, to me, are kind of like the sucker bet lines, because it looks like, oh, they just have to win by a touchdown to cover the spread. And when, in reality, you know how those games tend to go. You know, if a team mm-hmm. favored by 4.5 points, they end up winning by 4 or 3. The dog covers, you know, it seems like a lot of the time.
And there's no secret crazy. Sauce here, right? Like, there's no strategy.
I don't think so.
Every year, when you take a look back and how the winner went, or some of your top players that you're getting submitting picks for, the strategies are all over the map, right?
They are, and they change from year to year, as you know. I mean, one year it could be some like a great underdog year. You know, another year it could be a lot of favorites cover. And sometimes it happens with runs in the same season where the favorites run hot for like 4 or 5 weeks. You know, you've seen that with the consensus picks, and that's what we at footballcontest.com at our website, you know, we track the top 5 consensus picks every week. And that to me is like kind of the best sampling that you can look at, like what the most contestants are taking every week, and you can kind of see what the most public teams are. And that's like, you know, those are pretty much it used to be the teams you would want to avoid because you're kind of falling in line with the public. But, you know, like anything else, those go on a good run at some point, too. I mean, normally, what I tell people at the beginning of the season is if you can get through the first 4 weeks and you're like 500 or better, you're doing fine. Don't sweat it. And then you really want to make your move like in that second month when you've kind of figured things out a little bit, maybe into the, you know, and you really have to go on a big run to get into that money, you know, where you're in the top 100. But all it takes is like a 5 or 6 week run where you're just, you know, running hot and you do everything right, and then just kind of avoid those 1-4 and 0-5 weeks, and you kind of put yourself in a good position to cash. But you just really, you know, you got to avoid the really bad weeks. And if you can kind of just float along and put yourself in position and finish strong, you're going to have a good chance to make some money.
Vegas Maddie with me on 670 The Score. And Matt, once again, we're hearing all the money coming in on the Bears for Super Bowl futures, NFC futures.
Then the Browns, right? It's going to be a Browns-Bears Super Bowl, right?
Right. Well, and then the big story about a month or two ago was all the money coming in on Mitch Trubisky to be the MVP.
Right.
And then the odds dropped out from 200 to 1 down to 20 to 1 at some locations. But I always wonder, where is that money coming from? So you might have more insight on this since you're living out there. Is it because?
Yeah, I mean it's not going to be
the Chicagoans.
It's going to be people. Yeah, flocking. Maybe they're signing up for the Super Contest. Uh-huh. Maybe they're signing up for the Circa. But they're all coming into town before football season starts. But yeah, it's mostly public money from outside of here. It's not guys kind of sitting around. And
well, I was wondering
really
if it's
I was wondering if it's
people from Chicago that live out there too, because every year Cubs, Blackhawks, Bears.
Right, Cubs are always in the mix. I mean, even when the Cubs were really bad, I mean, it was always, you know, they always get a lot of money to win the World Series just because, you know, they, you know, somebody wants to put $100 on them every year, and you get 100 people that do that and then start thinking about moving the line down a little bit, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, it's mostly, I think, tourists and then maybe people who live here, like you said. And, you know, I mean, Chicago has one of the best fan bases around, and especially you combine that with betting, and that's kind of what you see. And I think, you know, that translates to Cleveland as well. I mean, Cleveland's got some pretty rabid sports fans, and, you know, they've gotten better a little bit. You know, the Cavs won the championship a couple of years ago or whatever, and then, you know, you've got the Browns kind of coming up, and, you know, that's one of those things that everyone's kind of jumping on the bandwagon. If there's any kind of good fan bases that have like a really good bandwagon, it's got to be Chicago and Cleveland, you know. So there's some lean years, and then all of a sudden, if the teams, you know, start getting good or, you know, seem like they could, you know, be a playoff team, then the fans are obviously all in there. So I think it's like probably 90%, you know, just fans just putting their money where their heart is with that stuff.
Maddie, I hope to see you real soon, all right?
I hope so. You got to find a way to get out here. We got to meet up for some drinks and get in these contests. And yeah, and hopefully we'll see you in the winner's circle come January. That would be awesome.
Maddie Simo of footballcontest.com. He's on Twitter at Vegas_Maddie. Just in case you're looking for a proxy for all these million-dollar football contests going on in Vegas. Hopefully I'll be able to make my time. We thank Maddie for his time this evening on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yeah, if you've been listening to The Score, you've heard some of these commercials. I mean, they're spending money on a radio station in Chicago because they know some football nuts are listening. Hey, come on out to Vegas and join this contest. And hopefully next year at this time, I'll be talking about some great football contests that are going on in legal sports books in Illinois whenever they open. If that ever happens, don't know when. You can keep asking me, but the answer's not going to change. I have no idea. I know Iowa's open. I know Indiana's going to open before the day before the NFL season starts. When in Illinois? Don't know. I do know the Illinois Gaming Board meets again to talk about sports betting the day of Bears-Packers, September 5th. I don't know if they're going to be able to accomplish much this time around. Hopefully they do, and we'll have a better idea when that's going to start. 312-644-6767. Been bouncing around a lot of different avenues tonight. A lot going on with the Cubs. We had the guys from Bleacher Nation in studio. You're going to want to check out that podcast probably tomorrow, in case you missed that. They hung out for about 40 minutes, had a lot of fun talking to them, and sometimes you see them on NBC Sports Chicago after the Cubs post game. And then some stuff going on in the NFL and Bears. Two more preseason games to go, and then we get set.
Bears.
And David Bodie was optioned to AAA Iowa this evening. It's making the way for Steve Cishek to return. Joe Ostrowski with you. Julie DeCarolis, she'll be here at 10 o'clock. We'll transition before that. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald and the number 25 Northwestern Wildcats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. The White Sox do not have the day off like the Cubs do. White Sox in action right now up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is the top of the seventh inning. White Sox ahead by a score of 4-2. One out in the top of the seventh. White Sox ahead there.
Herb's favorite player, Jose Abreu, with a home run in that game.
I'm glad, Studs, that you brought up Jose Abreu. Why do you say that?
440 feet.
Why do you say his favorite player? Is that a shot? Does
no,
he not
he's
like
just,
Jose?
He just doesn't think, it's not that he doesn't like him. Herb just doesn't think that Jose
is good.
He's
very replaceable, right?
Yeah, he doesn't think that Jose is good this year anymore.
Hasn't had a great season. Probably shouldn't have been an all-star, but okay. Studs, I'm glad you brought it up. Did you see what he said to the media today?
I have not seen that, what he said.
All right, good. Here's Abreu before the game. I truly believe that we are going to be in a good position next year to compete for a playoff spot. I know that the front office is going to make the move that will be the right move for us to move forward and to get to that final phase of this process. Of course, like I said before, if the team doesn't sign me, I'm going to sign myself here. I don't think he understands how the whole process works, as he was talking through an interpreter today. All right, there's a lot there. Truly believe we're going to be in good position next year to compete for a playoff spot. Maybe you need some more position players. You need another starter. When is Rondon going to come back? Rodon. Kopech? When I heard Han talk last, it didn't sound like it was 100% that he's going to be ready for opening day. Now, he's expected to be, but I don't know. That's a lock. They're going to spend the money. They were willing to spend the money last year, too. But you have to sell yourself. How are you going to sell yourself? Why is a player going to say, of all the options that I have right now, including some current contenders, why am I choosing the White Sox over anybody else? It's about the dollars. You were $50 million short last time. $50 million. I know the front office is going to make that move. We've heard this again and again and again.
No. Wait. Joe, yeah. They were. The contract was worth $325.
Potentially
worth.
If he would have done his job.
Because we all know that MLB players love potential money.
Listen, if you offer more money, what can you say? You can't blame, right? But they pumped this up so much for months and months and months. We're going to be at the table. We have all this money we've saved up. Yeah? Still chose the other team. Chose San Diego. Why? More money. And it's freaking San Diego, too. But again, with the Jose says we for next year. He's not signed up for next year. And he says he's going to sign himself. Then offer him $1 million. Wouldn't you do that as an organization if he's out there doing that? I'm sure Sox fans like hearing that he really wants to be back and a part of this moving forward. They are a little short as far as their position players go. I mean, but he's going to give you some horrific defense. Understand that. And you get some of that out in left field, too. There are a couple spots you get that. 2020 was always the goal. That was the target, right? And I'm not saying that's changed. It still could be. But is anybody paying attention to what they're doing? 13-24 since the All-Star break. 13 games under on the year. But all of a sudden, you're going to be a playoff team? Now, you look around the Central. Okay, I think you can eliminate the Royals and Tigers for next year. Twins going to play to this level? Probably not, but they're still going to be really good. They are so young. And then the Indians are getting older. And maybe he's talking about a wild card. And sure, you go into a season thinking that you can win the division. That's fine. But they're still short in a lot of areas. And young players go through their struggles. I mean, Dylan Cease has a very high ceiling. But if you look at the development of starting pitchers, you would expect struggles next year. How many starts has Kopech made at the major league level? And I'm sure some are vaulting him into a one or a two on a contending team. You sure 2020 is the time for that? And after the next guys come up, Robert, he should be up here already probably. And Madrigal, what's next?
Luis Robert, by the way, 3 home runs in the last 2 games.
Oh, my goodness.
1 today, 2 yesterday.
He's got things to work on, okay? He's got to figure things
got
out.
Got things, man.
We want to see him struggle. We want to see him bounce back.
Maybe he's
just not going to struggle.
But you don't want to see him go through 4 levels in a year.
Yeah.
He's tired, guys.
Yeah. You know, maybe
he shouldn't have started on the first level. Maybe that.
He's just mashing the ball right now. I mean, I saw someone say on Twitter today, it's a joke at this point. At this point, it's just comical.
In fact, as a collective media, we should be putting more pressure on the White Sox to do the right thing right now. Because they say the service time thing doesn't matter anymore, right? That's what they say.
Or why not just sign it like you did with Aloy, right?
Well, we don't know what's going on with those conversations. Well, what is his deal? It was a 7-year?
Aloy's?
No, Roberts.
Roberts?
How long was it?
I'm not sure. I'm to look it up.
I mean, they have him a long time. Him under control for a very long time. Herbie, are you buying into what Abreu is saying? Saying they'll be in a good position next year for a playoff and the front office is going to sign some big pieces here?
No, because they're talking about bringing him back. That's not what a winning organization does.
Let's go Bernstein. Does that get you closer to a championship?
No, not at all. I mean, there's 10 qualified first basemen in the American League. And if you go by F4, he is the 7th best American League guy. So 3 guys worse than him in the league right now. He's at a .7. Yeah, he hit a home run today. But what does he do for you in the field? There's a lot of other guys who are available. A lot of guys down in the minor leagues right now, you could just get the same type of production for and have them develop on the major league level and not have him blocking the way for it. So, yeah, Stoney had a thing today about, you know, the leadership and all that garbage that people bring up with Jose Abreu. I want production. Yeah, 89 RBIs, the home runs and garbage like that.
Does
he make you better team than he being off your team?
Well, here's the other thing, and we let them off the hook by saying rebuild and process, and Abreu's doing it right there. They said the rebuild's over when they didn't make any moves. When they kept Colome, they kept Abreu, they didn't try to acquire more assets. They said rebuild over, we're winning now.
Yeah, because
not hinging on all these free agents.
Because Colome's free after next year, so they're like, okay, cool, we got to keep this guy because next year we're going to be competing. So I don't think their history shows that they're not going out and getting the big time guy. They're going to him and Haw. They're going to act like they're on the table.
Is there anything after Rendon that you want?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Gerrit Cole.
Well, Gerrit Cole. Too.
Gerrit Cole. If downshift to Odorizzi.
Your top position player, your top pitcher.
Yeah.
But what about after that? The drop off. Now remind me, it's pretty steep, right? After those top few couple guys?
You got Marcell Ozuna, left fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
Young
Having
enough.
A disappointing year, but he dealt with some injuries early, right?
Yeah, and so most of the Sox fans I speak with want him because he fits a positional need. But I always say, just get good players, and the positions will suss themselves out.
Figure it out.
And then
later.
People are already just setting that second base spot up for Madrigal. It's like, hey, man. If we get a guy like Rendon, he's got to play third because he's better defensively than Yoan Moncada, even though Yoan's great. Yoan can go back to second, and we'll figure out what the hell to do with either Tim or Madrigal when the time comes. But having good players on your team is the key, not going to get a guy because you need him at that position.
By the way, quick note, you were asking Luis Robert's contract. He will not be a free agent until 2025.
Yeah, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah, his arbitration years are 2022 through 2024.
Okay, so if this works out, to perfection. When's the window open? It opens next year, 2020.
There's going to be only 3 years left with Moncada, Giolito, and I think Lopez left and there before they are free agents.
So, yeah.
That's funny, Herb, about Lopez.
He's been pitching well lately, man.
I know he has.
If you're saying the window opens next year.
That's what they're saying.
Then why is 2025, why are you so concerned about that?
Exactly.
Like, that's, no. Plus, if you're that concerned, just sign him. Just sign him. And then you have him. So,
it should not be a concern.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, it shouldn't. I'm not worried about that. Like, I don't think us as White Sox fans right now are worried about that extra year.
But at this stage, though, it's not like it's the beginning of the rebuild. These are supposed with everything. Every signal they're putting out there is okay. Finishing touches. Now it's winning time. We're going to be in the mix for the playoffs next year. So why would you worry about 2025? As we're closing out 2019.
And as the 847 guy points out, I mean, this is the mentality that most Sox fans have. They go along with the line is, what Rick fed you after they failed on Manny Machado. Mm-hmm. He's talking about Yoan Moncada. He's having a better offensive season than Manny. That's not the thing. The thing is, you would have had both Manny and Yoan Moncada. You would have not had Yoelmer Sanchez playing 400 at-bats in the major leagues this year.
And he swung and missed.
Yeah, so don't be falling for what they tell you. Yeah, Manny's not being the guy that he was last year, but he's still a valuable asset. If you had him on your team, you would have been a better team than not having on your team. And it's not your money, so stop worrying about their money.
And if you want to bring up Tim Anderson, that's fine, but he's probably playing the outfield this year, right?
The outfield? Well, I think they just keep Yoan Moncada at second base this year if they would have got Manny Machado. He plays third base. Tim plays short. Yoan stays at second.
And why do they have to be locked into the same position every day? Have we not learned that?
Exactly.
Like it isn't necessary. Tim would get probably some time at shortstop too, but that's not the situation. Yeah, I agree with Herb. You add the talent and you figure out the rest later. But they're going to need to make multiple additions. We're talking about playoffs. If we're making that leap. Now, usually with these rebuilds, what we've seen, at least with the successful ones, is teams make that jump a year earlier than you expect. So maybe it does happen in 2020. Problem is, they've got to come through in free agency. One, offer the most money. That's part of it. But you've got to sell what you have here and why the South Side, 35th and Shields, is the way to be. This is where you need to spend the next chunk of your career because we're going to be winning things. If I'm a player and I'm hearing from teams that are already contending, let's say in the National League, it's a hard sell thinking that I'm going to go to the World Series. That's the other thing. If you're talking to an AL team like the White Sox, you have to consider what the Yankees, the Red Sox will be once again, and what the Astros are. That's all part of this. And what do you see the Twins being down the road? But interesting, I mean, Abreu's telling you once again, screaming, I'm going to be back. I don't care what you offer me. I'm going to be back. So that'll be interesting. What does he end up signing for? Huh. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Julie DeCaro starts her show at 10 o'clock. She'll step in for transition next on The Score.
And here come the pretzels.
May, Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Wrapping up, and Julie DeCaro steps in at 10 o'clock, actually steps in right now for transition with me on 670, The Score. Good evening, Julie.
Hello. I'm sitting really close to you now that I moved over to this side.
That's fine. You feel that, you do better shows on this side of the table.
I feel like I do better shows on this side of the table, but it also feels like we went to a diner together and sat on the same side of the booth.
Yeah, that's always weird when it's
usually
see
people,
do
people
that.
Like you sit at exact opposite ends of this table.
I've always tried, you know, go to a restaurant and I'll sit the same side, knowing my wife will get mad and like what? Stop being a freak.
Shouldn't
go
she
over
want
there.
To be close to you? So,
well, I mean, for kids, it's fine. They want to like
they both want to sit on one side, right. Usually me, because I'm the better parent,
right.
And they like
right,
me
right.
more. Well, we were talking about it during the break. We're having different experiences with the kids. I cannot wait for them to return to school on Wednesday. Please, for the love of God, make it happen. Tomorrow is the last day. As I'm trying to prep for a show on Radio.com Sports, they'll be in my hair all day. It's the last day. And it's a game changer for me, because now it's going to be first grade and kindergarten, which means both of them will have full days, not the drop-off, and then I'll be back in an hour
That's
after
nice.
I run a quick
That's
errand.
Nice.
It's
yeah.
I think it's going to be a game-changer and a big adjustment for them.
It's a huge game-changer.
And for you, it doesn't sound like you're as enthused about
Well,
school.
No. My oldest is going to college Wednesday. I'm taking him. And like I was saying during the break, it doesn't feel like I'm taking an 18-year-old. Literally, when I look at him, I see like a 3-year-old that I'm taking to just like throw to the wolves. And
yeah.
because I went to the same college, I know what goes on there.
You, yeah. It's probably a lot worse, right?
It's probably like way worse.
Yes. Man.
It's very stressful.
So what happened?
What do you mean what happened?
You said what happened there. You know
oh,
what
I mean,
goes
I just
on.
Know, I mean, I was in a sorority. I know what goes on there. I know what happens during little 5 week. I know all that kind of stuff. Like,
oh, man.
So it's just, I mean, on the one hand, it feels like I'm leaving him with people I know. On another hand, though, it feels like, wow, I know exactly what goes on here, and I really don't want you to be any part of it.
Are there a lot of people that were there when you went to school that are still there?
A lot of people, a lot into? Of my sorority sisters are in Indianapolis. So they were sort of like, I can get to Bloomington in 30 minutes if I have to, you know, kind of
anything.
Thing. So that feels good.
How long's that drive?
It used to be 40 minutes, and it was through wooded hills, and it was really beautiful. And now they've
from here.
Oh, from here?
Yeah, for you.
Like 4 hours.
Okay. Well, at least he's not going really far.
That's true.
Like, once you crack the 5 hour, it feels like so far
right.
away.
Right. Well, so his entire childhood, who knows why you pick schools when you're a kid? He's like, I'm going to UCLA. And I was just like, okay, sure you are.
Yeah, like I was going to Florida State
because
I like the football team.
And my youngest now thinks he's going to Oregon, and I'm just like, okay, well, we'll see.
Because he likes the uniforms
and
it looks like a really cool atmosphere.
I gave a speech to Oregon. I brought him back an Oregon
oh,
hat,
okay.
So now he's going to Oregon. Like that's, you know how that stuff is when you're a kid.
Yes, yes, yeah, the smallest things
will
make your decision. Then you find out, oh, you're an idiot in high school. You aren't doing anything, so now you can't go. That's just my story, at least. And a lot of other radio people. Herb, like, bounced around to 17 different colleges, I think.
Did he really?
No, but he got... I think
four.
Four?
Did you really go to four?
I mean, I graduated in the 4 years, yeah.
You started at Western?
No, I started at Carroll College, then I went to COD, then I went to Western, then I went to Illinois Media School.
And you still graduated in 4 years?
Yeah, 2000, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
One of the esteemed members of the one semester at Western Illinois Club, by the way, Herb is.
I see.
I think I think I still owe money. Hope they're not listening.
Did you go for 4 years, Studs?
Yeah, I was in and out in 4 years, man. I was a good student, actually.
That's the hardest thing. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Macomb.
There's nothing going on.
Literally.
Right?
I've been there once.
It's the worst atmosphere
once.
Out there.
Drinking
is all you gotta do.
I was really good at balancing my social life with my school life.
Well, there are still some videos on YouTube of Studs in college and of his friends that he
I'm
would drink with.
I'm so glad I went to college before social media. I can't imagine.
Yeah. Right, Studs, do you have a YouTube account? Or what's...
Oh, you're talking about the video of my drunk friend?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, man. That was freshman year. My friend on like a Wednesday night comes back and he's just hammered. And he's in the dorm, and I took this video of him and edited it together. It's got like 13,000 views. It just blew up.
you didn't put it on TikTok. Was TikTok a thing back then?
I don't think it's it's just on YouTube.
Him and JoJo Siwa.
I don't even have the
is
original.
That her name?
Don't even, yeah.
Is that a name?
Like that YouTube
JoJo.
Video is the only version of that
Rose,
video
the
left.
Dresses, so it's not stop. I don't know what Studs
is. What is her deal? She's just like a rainbow person. That's just what she likes. Does she do anything? Does she sing or anything?
When I went to the gym today, I was like, okay, we're going to the gym, and they have a daycare, a bunch of kids hang out. It was a madhouse there today. All the parents are like, go to the gym. Yeah, and she wanted to wear her JoJo bow. The thing is like 3 feet wide. It's just, as you mentioned, big rainbow. So you know the backstory there with that family?
No.
Okay, so she became big because her mom was on Dance Moms. So she's one of those crazy ladies.
I saw a few episodes of her, and I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I know. I would make fun of my wife every time it's on the TV. I'm like, what are you doing? So this girl blew up, and the music is horrible. So, yeah, my daughter's like, hey, Alexa, play JoJo. And just, she's just yelling.
I'm sorry.
Yelling. Yeah. Yeah. I tweeted about it one day, and there were so many dads that were tweeting, like, she's the worst.
Have you ever been
I hate JoJo.
Have you ever been out to day out with Thomas in Union, Illinois?
No.
That's what that was like for me as a parent.
I want to say I heard about this.
Like, kid Woodstock. It's always in August, so it's like 500 degrees. It's in the middle of a field at the Illinois Railway Museum. And Thomas the Tank Engine, life-size Thomas, comes in with life-size Percy and I don't even know what else. There's like Sir Topham Hatt walking around.
Yes.
And the kids are like hot. They're on a sugar high. They're like just running around screaming. The train is there. They keep blowing the whistle. Every time they blow the whistle, all the kids start crying. Yes, it's so loud. It scares them. The whole thing is so upsetting. And I've been twice. It's a nightmare.
Never. Well, you're done with those
days. I know.
Yeah. Every time I see a friend that has a kid, I'm like, that is great. And I give them the lowdown, at least my experience, what I think is going to happen. And I tell them, like, this is awesome, but I don't envy you because I can't go back to diapers. Right. Once you go back past certain stages, it's like, thank God.
Well, wait till you get to the point where, like, you're free. Like, when you can leave them home alone. Like when my oldest got like 14.
Is that 7?
Oh, no, it's 14. Yes, because he had to watch his little brother.
That's a long time from now.
I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. But that's when you're like, I'll never go back. Because I can't imagine going back to like having to get a babysitter every time I want to leave the house.
But then right around the corner, right after that, it's like, let's get my license.
Yeah.
So that's a very short window.
Yes, it is.
What do you have in your show this evening?
Tyler Tynes is going to come on to talk about this great piece you wrote at The Ringer about black coaches in the NFL and in college, and basically stuff we've talked about before, how it's just not the same system. There's so few black coaches in the NFL. So he wrote a great piece about it today at The Ringer. And then at 11 o'clock, Mike Gianella of Baseball Prospectus is going to be here, basically so we can make fun of Goose Gossage again. Yet again.
Never.
I mean, he really is the old man yells at cloud.
He is.
We should put some giant mutton chops on that picture of Abe Simpson and a big mustache, and it'd be perfect.
I didn't see Tyler's piece yet. Did he also write about how a lot of black coaches don't get the second and third opportunities that all these other coaches get?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's even data to bear it out because the NFL hired a team to look at occupational mobility within the league. And that was one of the things that they found out.
What time is he coming on?
He is going to be on at 10:20.
Okay, 10:20, 25 minutes from right now. Yep. So don't go anywhere. Julie DeCaro with you until midnight on Sports Radio 670 The Score. I want to thank Michael Cerami and Luis Medina for dropping by in studio. Maddie Simo as well. Podcast available, 670thescore.com. Check it out there. Subscribe there as well. Herb Lawrence and Adam Studzinski, the producers. I'll be back here on The Score Thursday and Friday, but the next two nights, 5 to 9 p.m., download the Radio.com app because I'll be on Radio.com Sports, talking sports betting if you're interested in any of that stuff. A lot of football conversation tomorrow and Wednesday, 5 to 9 p.m. Julie's next on The Score.
That's it. You people have stood in my way long enough. I'm going to Clone College.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.